So a couple months ago, we did a podcast with my mom, and it was called A Mother's Story. It's pretty much my mom telling the story about me and my addiction and what's it like now and everything like that. Today, we have my father. You can say what's up.
How are you? It's great to be here with you, Andrew. It's been a while. You know, nice to be here in Hotlanta. Yeah, and looking forward to your enlightening questions.
I don't have any prepared, so.
Yeah, well, I know.
But this is the Most High Show.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
So thank you for, it's good to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Yeah.
You know.
So what's it, let's kind of be honest and be real and don't be afraid to embarrass me. I think mom tried to embarrass me last time.
I tried.
I don't really get embarrassed anymore. It's my ego coming out right now. So what was it like, you know, because I know there's going to be parents watching and everything like that. There's going to be fathers watching. So kind of like as a father, right, as a parent, as a father, what was it like to see me going through those things that I went through?
Well, you know what? It was hard for me at first to understand because I remember we had recently moved to Atlanta. You know, as you know, the job, my job transferred me to a lot of places. So we had recently moved to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And there is a memory of you that I recall. And I mean, you were not that old. How old were you when we moved to Atlanta? You were in going to what, eighth grade?
Or I was going to sixth grade.
Sixth grade. Yeah. You were going to sixth grade, yeah. And not long after that, you know, I apparently, I don't know if it was your brother or who it was, that you started smoking pot. And I remember you on the floor crying, asking us to give you $20 so you could buy some pot because you need a pot real bad and you couldn't live without it. And I'm thinking to myself, what? I don't understand this because, I mean, I experimented in my younger years with a few drugs and you know, I did smoke pot, but I never got on the floor and cried that I needed money to buy some pot. You look like you were hooked on pot, and you're not supposed to get hooked on pot. And that was a crude awakening to me when I'm going, man, there is something going on. And of course, as we later find out, you know, some people have addictive personalities, and you can be addicted to a lot of things. I mean, there's people that are addicted to their jobs, which is not good. Or people are addicted to drugs, they're addicted to women, to men, to who knows what. But that to me was probably the first sign that you have some kind of addiction problem, when something that supposedly is not supposed to be addicted seems like you were addicted to. I never knew about your drinking problem until a lot later on. I when I was younger, I did not like drinking, to tell you the truth. I mean, I didn't drink that much. I just thought that alcohol tasted terrible, and so did beer and all that. I couldn't understand why people drank that. But then again, of course, you know, I think probably the things that didn't help is that with you as with your brother, you know, that we used to travel to Puerto Rico on vacation once in a while, and as you very well know, and you can tell the story when
we were in the hotel lobby.
When you were in the hotel lobby, and I'm sitting with you, and I don't know how old you were, but you know, you probably
we were still in Florida, I think, at that point. No, we had just moved to Atlanta. We were in Atlanta.
Yeah, so you might have been in sixth, seventh grade.
Yeah,
and you and I sitting at the bar at the lobby of the hotel, and
I think I've told this story on the show before. Yeah.
So well, yeah, then I'm sorry.
No. But I'll tell it again.
But I was there with you. Yeah, you know, and the bartender said, "You asked for a Coke." And the guy said, "Is that all you want? A Coke?" And then what did you say? Did you get a shot of tequila?
Yeah, I was like, I mean, I'll take a shot of tequila, and she just gave me a shot of tequila. Yeah,
and with your brother,
without asking anymore, like it, I didn't even ask for that. Like I wasn't expecting a drink. Like that's not what I was expecting.
And with your brother, it was the same. You know, we went down there and he asked for a beer, and you know, at that same age or even younger, they used to give them to him. So, and that's the way I grew up.
Shout out, Rico.
Yeah, and that's the way I grew up. So it's kind of different, but to go a little further, when I really saw that, I think that was probably the first clue that there was an issue. You know, your grades in school started going down, and the friends that you have were somewhat of a concern, quite frankly. And then
later on when I went to this rehab now, kind of, I think you can probably attest to this too. I mean, Dwayne came up to you and was like, "Yo, like he needs help."
Yeah, I know.
You know, so. Yeah. I think later on, everybody kind of realized, okay, you know what, like, yeah, it's time for this kid to get help.
That's
like,
true. And
we try to put up with it for enough, and it just didn't work.
When I realized there was a big issue, and I really started seeing that sometimes when you drank, it got to be to a point that you drank and your personality completely changed. And
good old Jack on high.
And you can see it changing. So I remember being at the, I don't know why you were traveling with me, and we were at the Marriott in Coral Springs.
Oh, I remember this. I mean, I remember waking up. I don't remember this. I do, but I don't. I remember waking up.
So, I mean, we went to the bar and they serve you. I don't think you were even 21 yet, but for whatever reason, they were serving you.
I think I was either 20 or 21 because that was around. I never. It wasn't that because I didn't start blacking out until I was 20.
Because
I started blacking out after Berlin and when I was in college.
Well, you blacked out on this one.
Yeah, I remember blacking out. Well,
and weird choice of words. And that's when I really saw that. I said, "Oh my God, you know, there is a serious issue," because I could tell. We started, you and I were at the bar and we were drinking, and all of a sudden it's like you turned a switch. You started telling me I don't even remember what it was. I think we were discussing something about your mother, and you started saying nasty things and this and that. And I thought to myself, you know, well, there is something going on here, and I don't want to deal with this. And I said, "Andrew, I'm just going to go to my room whenever you want to go." So I just went to the room and went to sleep. But I think I woke up about, I don't know, 3-4 in the morning, and you were not sleeping on the bed next to me, you know. And I'm going, "Wonder where the hell he is." So I opened the door and I went out, and you know that hotel had a big yard in the middle, and all the rooms went to the top like that. It was like a square.
Yeah, it was like a courtyard in the middle.
And all of a sudden I saw you, and you were laying on a sofa on the lobby. I said, "Well, he's asleep." So I left him there. I left you there. So then later on I woke up. It was like maybe 5 or 6 o'clock, and I went downstairs to get you. And I woke you up, and like you didn't know where you were. You didn't know where you then. You said, "Where is my phone?" And we couldn't find your phone. And then you told me that you started talking to this guy, and you were talking to the guy, and I don't know what the hell happened with the guy, but I think you got into an argument with the guy, and you were outside. But we found your phone outside. You remember this?
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
We found your phone.
I don't remember the phone
outside
part.
Outside the...
I kind of remember the phone part.
We found his phone outside the hotel. Buried within some, some flowers and vegetation that was there. And your phone was between all the... Luckily, we found it.
Yeah.
Because the battery was dead, and I tried calling it, and it didn't work. And so that's when, I started realizing, man, there is something drastically going on. And, of course, at that time, I think that was before you went to college, right?
If I was blacking out, it was it was after I went to college. Because we were in Coral Springs. I never went down south.
No, we were in Coral Springs at a hotel.
Yeah. But I was in Orlando. We never went to South Florida when I was in Orlando.
The Camaro then.
It was before that.
Yeah. I think it was before that.
Before college.
Before college.
So I had blacked out before college.
Yeah, you did. Because to me, that was the first time that I really saw it. I know
when I went to college, it got really bad.
Yeah, when you went to college, it got pretty bad, and my concern then was that you were going to college, but you're not really going to college. It's like every weekend you were driving to Georgia from Orlando, and I couldn't understand that, it really went downhill from there. Both your mother and I suffer a lot to see you the way you were. You have such great potential in so many things that you can do, and all of a sudden, during that time you threw it all away. I think you're in the best place you've ever been right now, which is great to see you that way. Listen, what you put us through, at the end of the day, what you put me and your mother through, it doesn't matter. What matters is where you are today. And where you are today is in a good place, and you're seeing where you, you're starting to see spiritually what is it that you want to do with your life, and where do you want to go, and the kinds of things you want to do, and that's really when I think that everything is coming together. Because at first, when you were starting to get sober, it was cool, but sobriety was the number one thing, and that's all you can think about. But I think now you're expanding your horizons a little more, and really realizing that hey, now I'm getting this sobriety, I'm getting my hands around it, and I'm starting to see what is it now. Where do I go from here? And I think that you're starting to think about that, and that is real good. That's what makes me feel real good. Your mother and I feel good. Like, yeah. I said, what we went through doesn't matter. What matters is.
I tell people a lot that I have the best parents in the world, because I was the biggest piece of shit in the world for so long, many years, and you guys still stuck by my side, and even making those hard decisions, like when I did relapse that one time and you guys had to kick me out, or just all the stuff that I did and everything like that, it was, you guys made like the bigger, you were still there no matter what I did, no matter what happened. And that's like the, because I think about all that shit. I think about everything that I put you guys through, and I just, compared to who I am now, I'm like, I can't believe that was me. But at the same time, because of who I was, this is who I am now because of that. And because you guys stuck with me through the whole time, now I get to be this person that you see before me, and it's because of you guys, sticking through thick and thin, being there for me through all that shit, even though I've tried to fight you butt ass naked before. That's the one mom brought up.
And not only that, but you're helping people too. which is another thing that is great. So forget the fact that we stuck by you. You're sticking by other people through the Insight program and through this program. Not only that, you're helping other people, and that's one thing that probably we didn't do as good as a mother and father to teach you that you know, it's not all about yourself, that you also have to think about other people and helping other people, and by helping other people, you feel good.
Yeah.
So
it helps me out. And they say it's this is a selfish, selfless program. Like, the reason I'm selfless is because I'm selfish, and it helps me sometimes more than it helps the other person.
Yeah.
You know, but as an alcoholic and as an addict, I only think about myself the majority of the time. And even when I was, like, drunk, I didn't think about you guys. When I was sober, I didn't think about you guys. I didn't think about anybody else still besides myself or how I can make more money.
That you were nasty and horrible to us, we knew that wasn't you. That's not your personality.
Yeah.
So here you are. You're doing great, you know. So where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
Now
I'm going to be the one asking you a question.
All right. I'll answer.
I'll push you on the spot.
All right. Where do I see myself in 5 years? We're interviewing me.
Well, I know it's got to be. Listen, it's all. I should have never asked you that question because, you know, right now I think it's good. You know, you still got to deal it one day at a time, and it's all one day at a time. You got to make it through today. But let's say you make it through today. For the next 365 days and multiply that by 5 and you make it through today for the next 5 years. What do you see yourself?
I look like I just did an ad for Coca-Cola, right? Coke. I don't really see this, you know, when I got 16 months sober that year. It was going into 2018, and that year I said, I'm going to go a whole calendar year without doing anything, right? And so for me, like, yes, take it one day at a time is, you know, very important, but at the same time, like, I'm the type of person where I kind of, if I put my mind to it, I'm going to do it. You know, I think I owe that to you guys in a way, because that's just, I feel like, how you guys kind of raised me. You know, to just be that strong. I don't want to say willed because I'm an alcoholic and I'm not very strong willed, but at the same time, like, strong minded, I guess would be the right word. And so I did it, and I went 16 months. And yeah, I had like a bunch of ups and downs. I didn't really work program half the time, and a lot of it was dry, meaning I didn't work program, you know, but I did it because I told myself I was going to do it. You know, so 5 years from now, I can see myself still being sober. I will still be sober.
That's good.
Hopefully I'll still be doing this, some type of video and audio production. If not, if, like, I would love to still be at, you know, with the Most High Show. Then hopefully, like, expanding this and making this into something that doesn't just help, you know, a couple hundred people or 1,000 people, but millions of people. You know, because, like, doing this, like, you know, like, I grew up, I mean, you guys know, you're my parents. I grew up making music. I grew up doing videos. Like, I would do videos for you when we were just talking about the car video.
Yeah.
And you were drag racing and everything.
That was awesome.
Yeah. So, I grew up doing stuff like this. And now that I'm sober, I'm doing stuff like this still, but it's to help other alcoholics and addicts, you know, and just, I think my calling is honestly in some type of, it's always been in helping people. I think me and Mom talked about it on the podcast with her, like, how it was when we were, when I was young and we lived in Florida, I don't know if you remember, but me going, like, I wanted to help homeless people.
Yep.
To, like, we would go to Heat games and everything like that, and I'd see homeless people. I didn't know what they were. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just knew that they didn't look.
You used to call them the hobos.
Yeah. I didn't really, like, comprehend what was going on. I just knew, like, we had it better off than them, so we needed to help them, you know? And so it was like, that's what I see myself doing. Ever since I was a kid, I've wanted to help people. And I've said it before. I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot, but I'm just going to continue repeating myself because it makes a great fucking point. You know, my childhood dream was to help people. And now that I'm sober and in recovery, every single day I get to help people. So every single day I get to live out my childhood dream. Every time I walk into this office, I get to live out my childhood dream. Every time I walk into Insight, every time I walk into a meeting, I get to live out my childhood dream. Not many kids get to say that because their childhood dream is to be Superman or Batman, you know, or something else that they just never got the chance to. But me, like, I can say that. I just didn't see it being this type of way. Which, if you think about it, some of those homeless people were probably drug addicts. So in a way, I'm, you know, helping them.
That is awesome. That is awesome. You know, that sounds pretty good. And just like I said, I think you see yourself now, you know, as to what do I want to do, where do I want to go, and that is awesome. And I think what you're describing right there, you know, might be your calling. And it's good when you realize that, hey, you know what, this is what I want to do in life. And not only I'm going to be helping myself and help me support myself, but also I'm going to be helping other people. So you know, it all can be done, and that is great. Makes me very proud of you.
Thank you.
We're very proud of you, and you're certainly doing a great job. So
let me go get back to interviewing you real quick. It's my show, your guest. I'm just kidding, it's not my show. We're all guests in this life. So for parents that are going to be watching, I asked Mom the same question, but I want to get your opinion on it, right? Being the father, being a father, being a husband, you know, like, what would you say to other parents, other fathers, who their kid, their daughter, their son, whatever, whoever it is struggling with it, like, how would you help them? What would you say to them? Give some words of wisdom here.
Yeah, you know what? And it's interesting you asked that question today, because what comes to mind is at a meeting with the parents we were last night, and some of the things that we were discussing, as you know, all the parents from kids that have some kind of addiction, you know, is that time takes time. And you have to be patient, and it does not happen overnight. I know, for example, in your case, as you know, you went through several programs until you find one, though you found one that fits you. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be a commercial for Insight, but I think the good thing about Insight and the program you're in is that, and if parents that are listening, is that if you go to a program or to an addiction program, let's say you send them, I don't know, let's use Timbuktu as an example. I'm gonna send you to a Timbuktu program, and you're gonna be there, you know, inside this building for 90 days, and 90 days you're clean, and you come out of the building, and from Timbuktu you take that plane and you fly home, and all of a sudden you get home and you get to your house, and guess what? You're there. But there is, everything around you is the same. You're going to be calling the same friends that you were doing the stuff with. You're going to be calling everybody else. So quickly everything comes back to the same it used to be, because not only you, but your environment.
Yeah.
I think the good thing about the program is that you can continue sort of your daily life, and at the same time you are in a complete different environment. You are with counselors that have been through where you've been and can help you. You are with other kids that have been where you've been, and they can help you. And it's all very enthusiastic, and they teach you that, hey, you know what? You can have fun without getting high. You can have fun without getting drunk. And the sooner you realize that, you know, it's better, because as you know, when we use, and we've all have used, you know, it's interesting that you might be at a movie and you all of a sudden you're seeing this great movie and just so happened that that day you didn't get high. And then in your mind you're thinking, you know what? It'd be great if I could watch this movie high. So I think I'm gonna go get some drugs. I'm gonna go get some drugs and I'm gonna do so and come back and see the movie, because I bet you high the movie's gonna be better. But it isn't. It's the same shit.
It's the same movie.
It's the same movie. I mean, it's the same carnival ride. It's the same whatever. You know. And the sooner you realize that, hey, you know what? I can enjoy it. Sex. Oh, you know what? It'd be great if I did coke, man, and have sex. You know, it's gonna be better. Hey, you know what? Sex is great no matter what.
Actually, yeah. I think sex is better sober. To be honest with you.
So, but you know, you never know. There are some people that think completely the opposite, and there are some that do drugs, and then especially guys that can't get it. ED.
Erectile dysfunction.
Erectile dysfunction. Thank you. You know, you can't get it up.
The soldier won't salute.
Now, if I did drugs and I couldn't get it up, I say I wouldn't do any. But that's, you know, so.
You know,
so.
You're my father and my mom's in the room right now, so we won't. I have a story about that, but, you know, I can't. Right now.
But back to what I would tell parents, I say, you know, you gotta be patient and time takes time, you know, and it just doesn't happen in one day. My one program might not work, the other one might not work. You might find a program that works and you might have to go to relapse to learn. You know, not everybody that goes to a program and is sober from day one without going through a relapse. You know,
I sure as hell wasn't.
I don't know, and you probably know better than I do. But I think probably it's more common to go through relapse than it is to not.
Yeah, I mean.
You gotta go to at least one or two to learn, or you know, I don't know.
Me, I had to go like four or five.
Yeah, well,
or six,
there you go.
But you know, like
patience. That's what patience comes in.
Yeah, well, the thing that I've learned right through all my relapses, and I said it before, you know, when we were talking about, you know, like when I was using and everything, like all that stuff led up to where I'm at now, right? And I try not to regret anything that's in my past, because it's in my past. I can't change it. But if you think about it, every single domino, we'll say, it's a domino effect, right? Every single domino is set up. God set it up there for a reason. So when all of them knock it down, it comes up and it leads to this point that I'm at right now. And so, you know, like through all my relapses, through you guys kicking me out, through, you know, me getting drunk and cursing you guys out or doing whatever, you know, I did. Like, yeah, I feel bad about it. I made amends to you guys for, you know, about it and everything. But I don't regret it. It might sound cold, but I know you guys understand.
No, I understand it completely.
You know, because, like, it's part of my past. It's part of my story. It's part of who I am. And you know what? That experiences, those lessons are going to be lessons and experiences that I'm saying right now to people, that somebody out there is going to be watching this and understand it and be like, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. And that's why I don't regret these things.
And some of the stuff, funny, because what you mentioned just right now, we discussed last night too on the meeting, and that what you mentioned is the three stages you have to go through for sobering, because you're going to go, the first thing is the physical, is the fact that clean your body, that your body all of a sudden is living without that, then comes the mental part of it, you know, which is you fighting the demons in here. You know, you first fight the physical demons, then the mental ones. But then all of a sudden, when you really get to it, is when you get to the spiritual part, when you realize that, hey, you know what? Without the higher power, it's going to be very difficult for me to achieve this that I want to do, to achieve sobriety and whatever goals I have in life. So I think what happened to you is you teeter-tot between the mental and the physical for a while, and I, in my opinion, you are now in the spiritual part of it, and looking for the higher power and praying to the higher power, and I think that is bringing you that to where you are today. So
yeah,
so,
I mean, it happens. Mom mentioned it earlier today when we went out to lunch, you know, like with the car accident.
Yeah,
that's when I really did, you know, find my higher power and realize that, you know, there is something spiritual out there. There is a higher power out there. And sometimes it takes what we call in the big book a spiritual awakening.
Wait a second. I'm confused. Which car accident are we talking about?
I mean, one of my... He's trying to embarrass me now.
Is it the one, the first, the second, the third?
I think it's the 10th, actually. Yeah, they just got me a car. We'll see how long that lasts.
Can I say something about that?
Oh. It's
you don't have a microphone. You can't say nothing.
I got a lot of voice. Just a quick one. But I think when you had that last car accident and you had the spiritual awakening, you said, I can't believe all the people that love me came out to see me in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I wasn't expecting anybody to come see me in the hospital. I wasn't expecting to be in a hospital, but, you know.
Yeah. But I think at that point in time, not only did you realize, you know, boy, am I lucky that an angel was on my shoulder. And everything was okay with the accident. Nobody hurt was hurt.
I think it's a bad idea for her to sit there because you should have put a camera on her and a microphone.
She should just come sit right next to you. Let's just have her sit right next
to
you.
Hi, everybody.
I was asking if you
the
guys
La
wanted
Costa
to do it together.
Family show.
Yeah, we'll just call this one the La Costas. That's what we'll have on here.
But I think when you went through your spiritual awakening at that moment, you also realized that, I think you really grasped that, hey, I'm worth it.
Yeah.
I'm worth it, and people think I'm worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you're worth it. So
it was a real self-worth thing that I was struggling with, I think, for a while. Because, you know, before that, I mean, just gotten through a breakup and, you know, went back out and was relapsing and went back out for a month. And then I was actually sober when I had that car accident. But, you know, I've had a seizure when I was driving. I'll cut that out if I don't need to, you know, but... I've said it before.
Yeah, so let me continue with my interview. So how are you feeling today?
Right now, a little bit uneasy.
Well, now, why are you feeling uneasy?
You're having fun with this, aren't you? No, I feel good, man. Okay. I feel good.
I feel great. You know, it's funny because the other day, I was talking to a good friend of mine, and he was very surprised when I said to him, you know what, I'm probably the happiest I've ever been. And he said, really? You like Detroit? I said no, because that's where we live now, if you know. Yeah. Detroit has nothing to do with it. It just has to do with, you know, what's around me and you know, how everybody, how my life is going and the ones that I love life is going, you know, everything's to be going pretty good. So you're making me happy. She's making me happy. Your brother's making me happy.
That's the first time that's happened in a while.
Yeah, so there you go. So
that hasn't happened in a while. I'm glad, man.
I don't even remember ever being happy.
Yeah, you always told me, don't get married, don't have kids.
Yeah, well, you know, Don't go there, please.
I laugh.
But
about
don't
it.
Get married. Don't
actually,
have kids.
Actually, I just told somebody that the other day. I don't remember. It was yesterday. I don't remember who it was though.
Well, you know what?
I think I was talking to somebody at Liz's house yesterday, and I was like, you know, my dad always says, "Don't get married. Don't have kids." So.
Well, you know, and now that you have me on camera and you mentioned that, yes, I do say that all the time, and I tell that to everybody. But it doesn't mean people get it wrong. Doesn't mean I do not love my kids. Doesn't mean I do not love my wife. You know, it has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is that the one of the hardest things in my life was having kids, and what that caused in my relationship with Jennifer, my wife. It seems like we never agreed on how to raise kids, which is probably part of the issue of what a lot of things happen, although it's not completely. You know, we learned that maybe we might have been at some fault, but we're not responsible for everything that happens, because after all, you also make your choices.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I didn't put a gun to your head to go to college, and I didn't put a gun to your head to start drinking either. So it's like a, you know, it's decisions you made. But the hardest thing I ever did in my life was try to raise a family, and if I had to do it all over again, you know, well, it doesn't mean that I wouldn't have you and your brother, and I wouldn't get married to my wonderful wife. It's just that it's the hardest thing I ever have ever done. It's been harder than anything else I've ever done. I go through cycles where I might drink, I might not drink, but I drink a lot less than I used to, and probably as a result of seeing what happened to you, that I don't need to be doing, you know, because I was not the best example in the world, you know, so yeah, partly my fault, but.
Well, I can tell you guys right here, right now on camera, I don't think there's anything that you guys could have done to stop me from becoming an alcoholic. I think that's just who I was from the get-go. I think I was born that way. I think I was meant to do the things that I'm doing right now today. I think either way it would have gone, if you guys had done something differently, I don't think it would have mattered.
Yeah, well, that's
I think God had a plan. I think God's plan was to get me into football at an early age. I think God's plan was for me to... I'm getting there. I think God's plan was to... have us move to Atlanta when I was going into sixth grade. I think God's plan was for me and Rico to get closer by smoking weed, which made me want to smoke more weed and do more things, because, you know, I always looked up to Rico as a kid, and finally we got to hang out and it was bonding over smoking weed, you know, just like a lot of siblings bond nowadays.
Yeah, you even hang out with him when he didn't want to hang out with any of us.
Yeah.
Still, even recently.
Even the last time, I went to Michigan, just over Christmas break.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I don't think there's anything that any of us could have done to stop it. I think this is how it's meant to be. I think this is how God planned it. And I don't think that you guys should ever beat yourselves up over what you did or didn't do, because there's... I think this is the plan all along.
Well, let me give you some advice. Don't get married. Don't have kids. I'm just kidding.
I'll take that into consideration. That's ultimately my dream, though, is to get married and have kids.
Oh, well, so, you know.
You know.
Enjoy.
I'll go through the struggles. When I have problems with it, I'll call you and be like, you were right.
Yeah.
I should not got married and I should not have kids.
Well, you know, listen, you never know. You might be, you know, I mean, I
could love you. I don't know.
You're right in what you say, because I see, for example, somebody that you know very well, you know, my friend Ralph and his wife. You look at that, you know, they did everything, in, you know, and none of their kids do anything.
Yeah.
So. But I have to say that probably the biggest mistake I made as a parent is that I put my career ahead of my family, and in many instances where I could have said no to travel or could have said no to certain jobs, I didn't, and I think that might have to do something with it. But to answer your question,
So you think that you could have kind of spent more time with your family?
Yes. Yeah. But I don't know if that would have made.
It's not like,
I don't know if I, that would have made a difference, but you know.
I mean, I don't. I never really saw it as like you were never around. You know what I mean? Because I saw you plenty.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes I got sick of seeing you. So. I got sick of seeing you too. You know, I just want to smoke my weed in peace.
Yeah.
thank you for coming out, and you know, I know you guys were here to help me out, and it's cool that we got to come in here and do this, and hopefully some parents out there are listening and they got something from it, or some kids out there got something from it, somebody out there got something from it, you know, and they'll be able to relate. And you know, if you are watching this and you would like to donate to support our cause, you can go to our Facebook page at The Most High Show. You can also go to themosthighshow.com. We are on Instagram. Follow us at The Most High Show. And you're probably seeing this on the app, but if you're not, go ahead and download the app, Most High Media. Available everywhere where apps are available. Shameless plug. Yeah.
I just say thank you for inviting me, and it was great interviewing you.
It was great interviewing you too.
Yeah. And by the way, I will make a donation to Most High Media.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your donation.
Yep.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right.